So, this podcast is, I'm going to take you a little bit into left field. Fair warning. If expectations are nothing more than premeditated resentments, then, like Hannah Gadsby says, I'm going to set your expectations for you now. So this will go into left field, and if it doesn't apply, let it fly, and take what you need and leave the rest. My goal in saying it is to validate and affirm anybody else if they're also feeling these things or questioning these theories and philosophies. That you're not alone, and a lot of other people actually feel the same way. So here we go. This is a piece of writing that I wrote back in February, and it's called Children of Trauma Rise Up. Weird, unlovable, too much, not enough, always wrong, and can't do anything right. Sound familiar? Does it feel familiar? When children are made to feel that their feelings, thoughts, beliefs, wants, and desires are wrong, they silence them out of survival, out of the need to be taken care of by those who are meant to do so. Silencing the yearnings of the heart and mind because those around them deem them as wrong. So as children, who are taught to lean on and learn from our parents, we learn that if others deem them as wrong, then they must be. Carl Jung wrote about this at length. He called it the split self. He wrote about how those parts of him that were damned by others were then kept secret in his shadow, in order to feel accepted by others, in order to feel loved, and to feel lovable. Psychotherapy, derived as a means to bridge the gap between our internal, authentic voice and the external shoulds that we accepted as our own truth. As in, you should do this or you should not do that. External shoulds. Psychotherapy, as well as numerous other modalities of healing, redirects the person back to their own voice, back to their own internal GPS system. Children of trauma learn to not trust their own internal voice, and therefore lean on the external shoulds as their truth. This creates chaos in the soul, carrying around the feeling that you can't trust your own thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. Following what others say is right, or what others say we should do or should feel, leads us all to a brick wall, spinning in circles, unable to move without the assistance of someone else telling us what we should do. Listening to someone else's directions, though, won't get us to the destination that is meant for us specifically, as far as authenticity, living your purpose, etc. That wall is what brings people into psychotherapy. They're stuck. They don't know which way to go. And psychotherapy helps the person turn up the volume of their own internal voice so they can hear and trust and believe themselves as to what the best course of action is. You knew the truth all along because you are the only credible judge as to what your truth really is. How can anybody else be? How can anyone else know your truth better than you? Being conditioned into believing that someone else knew our feelings better than we did is what got us to the point of ignoring our own truth. For survival, children of trauma turn off. And it makes so much sense. Turning off to preserve oneself out of survival. We turn off and we just go through the motions of surviving life or getting through the day or the hour. Turning off our emotions because they were wrong to begin with, said others. They got us in trouble, right? Our emotions made us make mistakes as children. So we close down and we become sort of an empty shell, to get through it. And it's a completely understandable and valid reaction, the coping mechanism of disassociation. In addition to turning off, children of trauma also become hypervigilant. We notice the slightest shift in mood. We had to, because a shift in mood meant possible harm could come at any moment and we had to be ready. We had to brace. We notice body movements, facial expressions, tone of voice, all the things. We have a built-in security system. We become sensitive to others, even when we're turned off or we're empty. This hypervigilance follows us into adulthood. We notice everything. How many times have you remembered where someone left something they lost? Or when something is out of place in your own home or your office? Or when a friend is upset? Here's my point. Western psychology tends to damn. It tends to amplify the faults and ignore any possible good that may also be there. It's incredibly one-sided, especially in comparison to other cultures and their views. For example, Rollo May, regardless of his culture, he compares the person with schizoid personality disorder to an artist. He said both can see and tell the ugly truths of society that most ignore. And he did that in a book called Love and Will that he wrote. So here we are, empty and sensitive, right? This is a gift. Hear me out. Shamanism depicts shamans as being a hollow bone, an empty vessel, contentless, without content. The reason that shamans are able to help others is because they aren't clouded with their own bundle of self-prioritizing. Shamans use that empty vessel to allow the content of others to flow through them. They have the space for it. One step further, empathic and intuitive people are, by definition, sensitive. They are sensitive to the feelings and the needs of others. Sounds a lot like hypervigilance, right? So if we add together being empty and being sensitive, we get a person with a natural ability to heal. It takes sensitivity to be able to tap into a person and know what they need, feel how they feel, relate to their experience. It takes stepping away from your own preoccupation with yourself to offer the space to let the pain of others flow through you in an effort to help them. Shaman, empath, intuitive, healer, regardless of the title and label, clearly they use their vessel, which is their self or their body, as a means to help others. Regardless of the public perception, which is increasingly becoming more welcoming of the various modalities of healing, it's still happening. It's still real. You know it, and I know it. And after a childhood of having your own truth silenced and being told that you are wrong or weird, isn't it time to stand in your full power and believe in yourself? Regardless of if the external world agrees with you or not. Being told that we are wrong or weird dampens our light, our soul. We try to hide ourselves and tuck it away. We grow to see only our darkness, since that's what was shown to us as children. But that's not all there is. There is an opposite and equal reaction to everything in this universe. There is no other way. So if we see a mountain of darkness, then it stands to reason that the mountain of light is just as large. We just have to turn around and look at it instead of the mountain that we were raised to focus on, the mountain that society still wants us to focus on. Be an alchemist and transfer the dark into the light. Shift your perspective from, I am broken and empty, to, I am able to heal others because I was made to feel broken and empty. We have prime real estate right here inside of us, and it's time to build on it. It's time to embrace it. We have shushed our inner voice down to nothing for the comfort of others, to be able to register and monitor the feelings and energy of others for our own survival. Shushing down to nothing, down to where we couldn't hear our own voice so that we could hear others, is what opened the pathway to empathic, intuitive, sensitive abilities. We have the amazing ability to turn ourselves off so that we can be there for others. Would we have been able to do this without the trauma? Buddha saw illness, injury, insanity, and death in Buddhism. Illness, injury, insanity, and then death. And it allowed him to walk the path of enlightenment. Haven't we seen those things too? Shamanism warns that if you don't answer your call as a healer, then you will first experience an injury, which is a mind-body connection. Then, if you still don't answer your call as a healer, you will experience an illness, like a psychosomatic condition, such as chronic pain. For example, the mind-body of connection of fibromyalgia, which often accompanies CPTSD, is leave me alone. So every physical condition or disturbance or disharmony has a mind-body connection. And the premise is that if you don't heal it in your mind, then it's going to, the wound or the sadness, then it will manifest into physical form because it has to escape the body somehow. And that's called the mind-body connection. It's a field of psychology. So the mind-body connection of fibromyalgia is leave me alone. And it comes from the nervous system. And it's just an example. So again, shamanism warns that if you don't answer your call as a healer, then you will first experience an injury, then an illness, then insanity, and then death. And insanity, the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. A good example in this instance could be us thinking that we must be weird, we must be wrong after all. They must have been right about me. Listening to other people's shoulds and not understanding why happiness then escapes us is insanity. The difference between being a mystic, which is a healer, and the psychotic lies within the support they received along the way. And I get that from Joseph Campbell, where he says the mystic and the psychotic swim in the same water, or in the same water. One swims and one drowns. And in my spiritual emergent certification coach course, they taught us that the person swims because they have support, because they know they're not alone. If they don't have support, or if they're told that something is wrong with them, then they drowned. And that's the difference between a mystic and a psychotic. Being told that you are weird or wrong is the opposite of support and could quickly curtail a mystic into the path of psychosis if they believe that they are truly weird or wrong. I'm here to tell you that you are not wrong. I'm here to offer you the support that will remind you of your incredible inner strength after surviving what you survived. I could go on with a list of my degrees and certifications to validate that there's some sort of credibility to my words. But then that would be furthering the conditioning of not believing in myself. I'm saying it because I've experienced it, because I believe it, and because it's my truth. Needing external validation is a trauma response, so you can take what you need and leave the rest. But I'm telling you that you have mastered survival, and now it's time to thrive. It's time to believe in your own inner voice. It is only after you've accepted who you truly are that you will attract your tribe and find your community and that love and that belonging and that acceptance that so many children of trauma believe isn't meant for them. But it is. You are worthy of all the good things in this world simply because you exist and because you are here. Rise up and flip the script. We are waiting for you, and the world needs you.